Hey, hello everybody. It is Suzanne with another energy update. I had probably one of the most cool client sessions just this morning, and I wanted to capture this while it was kind of fresh in my mind because sometimes some really cool stuff happens in my room, and it can be outside of the so-called box of normal for many. So again, if you're listening to this and it doesn't resonate, just let it go in one ear and out the other. But you know, we have a lot of things happen in our lives, and we run this kind of like underneath programming sometimes, or, you know, subconscious information is flowing through our so-called matrix in our mind, and we find ourselves doing and repeating patterns oftentimes. And as an energy practitioner, I have found oftentimes this relates to past lives, and whether you believe in them or not, I do, because I see a lot of this happen in my work. And I am not choosing at this point to like promote myself as a past life therapist or a past life regressionist or anything like that. But oftentimes, unbeknownst to me, the client will bring forward a past life. And if that indeed happens, that means it's very, very important for me to look at, examine, and work with during that session, especially if it's unsolicited, in terms of, like, you know, not even talking about digging out a past life. And so if it pops into an actual session, I take very seriously that opportunity to dig deeper and to do some work on behalf of the client. And that's kind of what happened today. It was super cool. This particular client, I have podcasted a little bit about before, keeping it anonymous, obviously, still. But this particular one had been grown up, or grew up, in some semblance of what I would call almost cultish, Bible-y, very restrictive family, and was paraded around oftentimes to, you know, go out and gather others into the fold, etc. And did a lot of that work pretty blindly as a child, because that was her family, that was her life. I mean, that was her normal. And at a very young age, she shares with me oftentimes that there was conflicting information, because her world, her third dimensional world and family structure, etc., was, you know, saying one thing, and her insides intuitively knew that that wasn't necessarily the case, meaning her truth of that God package. And yet, being a small child, that can be extremely confusing, because, gosh, you know, I've got these thoughts and feelings running through my head and body that are directly opposed to what I am being shown as my truth in a family reference and beyond. So this is kind of tough. And even now in her 30s, she is working diligently on, and I mean, this girl works at this stuff. It's been awesome to watch her journey. She has been working diligently to face some of the things from that past programming and restructure some of those things. And I think it's very interesting that today, something very clearly came through. Now, when I am growing up in that kind of cultish, biblical, you know, structured box, I feel very much like it's abuse, basically. It is abuse. It's abuse in a different way. And to be abused in terms of locked into belief patterns and forced to, you know, in a fearful way, not feel like I can expand on that truth. And this information can then, as I get older, of course, continue to come out in relationships and continue to come out in all kinds of ways that I present myself to the world, in terms of what do I believe and can I trust anything or anybody. Because when we start to have a breakdown like this, I was explaining to her today, oftentimes we will hit what is coined as dark night of the soul. And dark night of the soul for many, many people is when on your spiritual journey, you get to that point where you start to have the courage to dig deep. And that's what this gal is. She's very courageous. And it is having the courage to dig deep and really go to those dark, dark places within our soul space to examine the truth of what may or may not be my reality. And it starts to get scary. I don't know if anyone listening has ever had a journey into the dark night of the soul, but this can be a very, very scary experience. Because when one starts to understand that they have been, and I'm going to use the word lied to, And I'm going to explain that in a minute. But when I've been lied to in a lot of ways throughout my childhood or forced to believe something, when I start to understand that that's all been a farce or a sham or fake, then I start to question what is real. And now, that said, I want to explain, of course, a lot of people would say, well, she wasn't lied to. That's what her parents believed. And yes, that is the case. That's what her parents believed. And they also had a belief system that was false. And in terms of what is that true God source? And if this isn't your God package, you don't need to be listening any further. And that's fine if this is offensive to you. But that God package is not a guy on a cloud. And many of us give him that personality, which then is fear-filled, and we have to be scared and do things right, and we're scared of doing things wrong, etc. And that's been a big fat lie to us as a human race. We have positioned this so-called source energy, which is the I Am presence, as all loving and yet fear-filled. It's diametrically opposed energies. It's confusing. And when we are lied to in the big scope, and I mean that like the whole thing is a lie, we start to break down this feeling of abandonment, actually. And we start to feel that I can't trust. And this will directly affect a lot of the places and relationships and situations in our life that we come up against. And if we don't start to see this as potential work, we will then just go through this life and continue to not clear that programming and continue also to create further karma. And I was explaining to this gal today, karma is not what our original humanity, human body experience was supposed to be about. We, even if you look at biblical verses, can look at this differently in terms of, you know, we hold heaven within us. We hold heaven within the house of God is within us, etc. We were designed as a human meat and bone experience to create and co-create on behalf of this God force in a container that is human. And when we put in this false structure of a God that's a guy on a cloud and gave him a personality that had to atone and be scared of and go to a icky, scary place that, you know, burns with the hells of fire, fires of hell, etc., we did not necessarily continue to do the work of clearing our soul record and finding the zero point of our book of life or our Akashic reason for being here. We are here to, you know, come back to understanding, remember what we know, why we came in the first place in terms of clearing that karmic debt, releasing, atoning, letting it go before we leave this meat body experience. But when we created this structure of God in the sky, we handed off a lot of that power. And sadly, most all of us die in meat and body form and go back to that in-between life situation. Hence, we have to figure out what we didn't finish, and this is what we would call a karmic return. And we've been in this karmic loop pattern for eons because humanity gave that power away to this so-called false God source. And when we start to understand that we are collectively all God and that we are individually one of God, and we are power-filled people to clear this karmic debt, we won't have this karmic return reason to keep coming back here and atone and switch places and do it again and again and again. So interestingly enough, because of the fact that this particular client has so many issues with the God package that she is now re-examining courageously and putting even more than just one toe in the water. I mean, she's kind of like jumping in full force to say, hey, what is it that I really know or don't know deep inside about this God source, and what can I do to delete some of that old programming? Well, lo and behold, of course, we get into her session today, and it was just kind of an open agenda, an open intention for whatever was to come through for her highest and best. And sometimes as a practitioner, I am made privy to past lives. And how that looks, just for everyone to understand, for me, is when I'm doing a healing session, I am 100% telepathic. I'm not talking. I am just in my mind's eye doing the work. And sometimes what happens when it's a past life is it's as if a movie, 100% movie, comes up into my knowingness, my sight, my vision, my feel. And it's almost like a lucid dream, you know, on steroids. It's like you're in the actual scenario itself. You're in and you're participating and you're very much observing and feeling not only the situation and the surroundings, but the smells and the thoughts and the feels and the emotions and the whole entire package is what amazingly I get immersed in when I see a past life. And in this gal's particular case this morning, it was crazy because we were just basically doing typical energy work, and then boom, all of a sudden in front of my face, clear as a bell, is this huge, gigantic, very stately home that had it was white, and it had very large pillars in front of it. It was very old in terms of, I don't know the time period, Victorian, Puritan time period, all of that, colonial. It was very, the shutters, the whole nine yards, and the scene itself was very clear in my mind's eye, and immediately I was aware that this particular client who is now laying on my table in this life was a young gal, and she was very young, probably about the age of 7 or 8, 8 at the very oldest, probably more like 7, and was with a group of people who I was fully understanding was her family, and they were entering this very large home in the back way, and it almost looked like it was an area where the carriages would come up on the backside. It had an overhang, and the carriages would come in, or the sleighs if it was wintertime, and indeed in this particular scene it was wintertime, and these people were gathering at this back door and putting this young gal in. The door was opened, and she was the only one that went into this back entrance, and the rest of the people just returned to their whatever. It was kind of like a carriage sleigh sort of a thing because it was winter. And then the scene cut, and they were then picking up the gal from the back door. So whatever happened inside, I was very well aware that it was abusive. And it sadly, in my opinion, it was sexual abuse that was completely condoned. And it was really horrible, and it felt awful. But what was so completely creepy about this was that the little girl, who I believe is past life of this client, was 100% just going through the motions, 100% robotic in terms of, yep, this is my life, this is the way this is. No real fear, no real not wanting to do this. There was no fight. It's just, this is what's expected. And amazingly, the client on my table grew up with that same, this is what is expected in this family, when it came to their presentation of their family and their beliefs and their God package out to the world. And so very much along the same feelings and time period, because when this gal was younger, she was really, really utilized at that same age, and as far as prophesizing and bringing the word out, etc. So this gal, now back to the actual past life dream or vision, gets with her family, and I distinctly saw the father in a stovepipe hat. Any other of the men had a black stovepipe hat also. Every single person in this entire grouping was dressed fully in black, and the dad had almost like a very high collar on, almost ascot looking, not ascot, but kind of up and around the neck, and very, very deep, long, long coat, and he carried a cane. And he was very, very proper. The mother involved had on a wool cap sort of a hat with long ribbon tied around her actual throat area. And again, very high collar, long coat. But the little girl had also dressed in black, had very tights on and a dress on and very high boots on. But she had on a very distinctive cape. She did not have a long coat. She had a very distinctive cape. And again, the cape was very high and up around the collar. She also had a hat. And the cape was what was keeping her warm versus this long coat. And I can't remember if there was a whole lot of other people, but there was another son in the picture. And in this particular client's life, by the way, it is a mother, father, herself, and a brother. So I don't know if this was a direct incarnation of the entire family or not, but it was an exact duplication of the current life family in terms of the brother and the sister and the mom and the dad. So now she's walking into the front of this colonial mansion and with a completely different presentation, and more people are coming and more people are coming. So now we have a social gathering of sorts, and it was amazingly disgusting, if you want to say it that way, that they had paraded this daughter in the back door, did what they needed to do with her, and now are parading her in the front door with a complete, you know, false face to everybody walking in, and, you know, greeted at the door, and everything's wonderful and fabulous. And again, this poor child was very, very robotic about it. It was like, this is what we do, this is what we do. And it was really, really crazy to be able to see that. So now, as an energy practitioner, what I do with that, whenever I come up to a past life like that, from a standpoint of removing the energy, I make different choices. And in this particular case, I chose to go full force into smudging. Today I used Palo Santo wood. Sometimes I will use sage or cedar or, you know, tobacco or sweetgrass or whatever, but or a combination thereof. Today, for whatever reason, I took the Palo Santo wood, and I have a sacred fan that I work with, and I cut all cords and really intentionally said, this is not allowed to be in her field, meaning her auric field, in any way, shape, or form other than a read-only file from a past life, that anything karmic that was penetrating her space was released today. Because what will happen is we will get way too much information from that past life if the energy is not utilized and stored correctly and brought in correctly. We can have access to these past lives, but it's like a PDF. We really only want a read-only file situation, because if I don't have just a read-only file access to it, what will happen is I will bring in more of that karmic feeling, that knowing, that sensation, all of that stuff. Well, so I did a lot of the smudging, a lot of the cutting, a lot of the intention that this wasn't acceptable in this particular incarnation of this gal at this time in her life, etc. So when we get all done with this, amazingly, it was very churchy, it was very Puritan, it was very, you know, in a kind of different sort of a way, a la sham on this face of God and how we present to the community and society, etc. So I get all done, and when I am done with the healing, then I have a conversation with the actual client, and I say, you know, what is it that you felt, or what did you experience? And she said, it was really cute today, she said, and she does a lot of consistent work, and so she has a lot to compare to, and she said, it's kind of weird, because today I was just sort of gone. I mean, I just wasn't even there. And oftentimes, that's what the client will actually have the feeling of when they're doing a past life, because indeed, they step back, and this other life steps forward, and so a lot of times, they can sometimes even observe it, but a lot of times they'll just sit back and they know something's happening energetically, but they're not made privy to it. It's almost like they're in the other room. So I start telling her what happened. And this is the first time this particular client moved into a past life release. She, up to this point, has done very consistent work, but never has entered the realm of a past life. And to me, that, and again, indicates that this was a very important needed release for her. And I don't bring these forward, the client will bring them forward. So when I started to actually describe this house, one of the things that's so cool about being a practitioner in this world is people are so transparent, especially during an energy session, that their field changes, their face changes, everything orically about them changes when you hit what we would call a universal truth. And oftentimes their eyes will get very watery and filled with tears, and their body will either shut down or wake up, and all kinds of things will happen when we hit something that resonates inside of their knowingness as what we call a universal truth. So I'm starting to relay the information, and I start with this concept of this, you know, big, huge colonial house with the pillars, etc. And she kind of stops short and says, oh my God, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I often dream that I'm in this house, and I dream that I'm in this big white house and that I can't get out. And it's, you know, a recurring dream that she's had most all of her life. And that in and of itself started the thing out like, are you kidding me? I mean, you can't make this shit up. It's just crazy when this stuff happens. And as I'm telling her the rest of the story, She was very, very well aware of it, and very well aware of the feeling within her that this made sense to her. somehow, some way, and this again indicates a universal truth. And then, particularly as to the cape, she said, you know, when I was young, I played with those, like, I think they're called American Girl dolls, and they have different time periods and different dress and different personalities, etc. And she said when she was a child, she was totally obsessed with the one that had to do with the colonial times. I think she said her name was Felicity. And she said, but even more so, she was obsessed with the red cape that this Felicity doll had. And she said she was really, as a young child, very obsessed with the concept of, why don't we wear capes? And she would even ask her mom, why don't we wear capes? We should all be wearing capes. And again, this is that same time period that I saw her in the other lifestyle or lifetime, where she was indeed wearing the black cape. So we find these really weird crossovers of knowingness or comfortableness or similarities of situations, etc., when we go into a past life, and we will inevitably see bits and pieces or strands of them play out in different ways in the current lifetime. And to find this weave pattern when we do a session like this is always just fascinating to me, because we are so much bigger than this one incarnation, and we are so intricate, and there is so much going on that when we find these opportunities to clear that stuff, what it does is it takes that program out of her so-called matrix. It takes it out of her programming, kind of like a supercomputer deleted the program. So this particular client will then move forward, hopefully now, with full healing in terms of not having to have the underlying anchors of feeling lied to or fearing that I have a different truth and I'm not heard, or having a difficult time in day-to-day life with not trusting other people, or can I be authentic, or do I have to hide who I really am? And on and on and on, these attributes will weave into our current existence. And when we delete a past life program like we did today, oftentimes we will see a direct and very, very quick, usually, a very direct, relatable movement forward in the particular lifetime that she's living now, and in a positive way. And so I am super excited for her, because this was courageous to bring forward. Past lives are not easy. Again, I don't pronounce that I'm a past life regressionist, because a lot of people do that, by the way. So if you do past life work, be very, very careful of who you're working with, and make sure if you are working with someone in past lives that they know what they're doing, because oftentimes what we can do, sadly, when we go into a past life is make it worse. If we don't have a practitioner that knows how to release that information and return it to the file system in the correct way, and I'm going to use that word, in the correct way, what happens is we open that Pandora's box and we make it worse. What we do is we ignite not only that memory in a full way mentally, but we also can indeed ignite it physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And so we need to really be careful when working with past lives that the practitioner knows exactly what he or she is doing in terms of returning the rightful information to the spot where it belongs, and releasing it within the meat and bone body and the cell structure of the person that's sitting on the table for the healing. So these are really important issues that we come up against once in a while. And I'm always super excited when somebody has the courage to bring forward a past life, because it will directly, absolutely affect her current life. And I'm very proud to have been able to assist in that, because, you know, these things are important. And again, if this resonates for you, great. If it doesn't, if you don't even believe in them, just let it go. We also pull cards at the end of any session that I do. I pull a card prior to the session, and I ask guides and angels what this particular session should be about in terms of release or bringing in for the client. And hers that I pulled was the spiritual growth card. And I think that's kind of ironic and cool, because definitely she needed to grow spiritually and release something spiritually. And then The cards that I pull after, there's three cards, and they indicate, again, what was in need for this client. This time the client pulls the cards. What was the need for the session? What happened during the session? And what can happen now following the session? And in this particular client's case today, she pulled the needing card, turned out to be the word freedom. And how perfectly aligned is that to what we did? She needed freedom from not only that past life and all of that karmic bull that was playing out, but she also needed freedom in this particular incarnation's life to be able to free to hold her truth, to be able to be free to not feel lied to be able to be free, period. And so perfect card pull on that one. The card that was pulled for the work on the table was called signs. And what this indicates is that we now can be very aware that there were signs and there will be signs in our bigger way of working through life. We are always given signs and we can ask for signs, and we just have to be present enough to be able to see the signs and be grateful for them and then do something about it if we choose to. And then the card that she pulled for moving forward was the dream card. And this was really cool because she is a vivid dreamer. And we were chatting about how interesting that is, because this whole entire picture of the home, this colonial home, is something that she has been dreaming about throughout her entire life. And I think it will be very, very interesting to see if her dreams change and if she can now not see that pattern, because the subconscious is running these things through the matrix because the soul is trying to karmically, you know, atone or release or re-experience, and we need to allow that to be different now. And then additionally, of course, the dream card can mean a different version of the word dream, meaning I'm dreaming about a different future, I'm creating a different future. And in her case, it's a lot of work, hopefully, to continue in terms of this God package that was forced upon her as a child, and really dreaming in a bigger way about how this can change. And dreaming in that context of the word means more along the lines of, I have hope, I have joy, I get to change this. It brings in the awe and the wonder of being magical again. And that is definitely an awesome replacement for this particular gal, because we all deserve to change that karma. We all deserve to clear that slate. And we all deserve to dream of a future that doesn't include any of that harmful, embedded crappy information that we karmically carried over again and again and again. And the coolest part about this is when we release karma before we're actually what we would call clinically dead, when we release it here, it will forever be not an issue when I'm in between lives. I will not have to reatone or re-karmically connect to flip a place or, you know, experience the other side of the coin per se. I will never have to do that again if I have fully cleared this karma in meat and body form before I am clinically dead. So super cool for her. Great opportunity. And I, again, was super proud to be a part of it. So hopefully this gives you some indication of how truly big we are. You know, we think that we're just this incarnation. We think we're just this meat and bone. But some of the indicators that you want to see if you are dealing with maybe a past life karmic too embedded issue is really consistent patterns that don't seem to go away. And that consistent pattern will be in almost every sandbox you're playing in, if you want to use that analogy, you know, in relationships, in work, in my body, in whatever. There's a very consistent pattern, and it's a very dominant part of your life. The structure of your current life will be very, very focused around this dominant issue in every way, shape, or form. That usually indicates some really big karma going on in your book of life. So you can all ponder that for yourselves, and maybe a past life regression and or clearing is something that you want to attempt to do again. I highly suggest do it with somebody or something that is safe, so that you are learning to cut those cords and don't ignite anything further, because it doesn't have to be scary. But it can be tricky work if you aren't necessarily navigating it correctly. So hopefully this gives everybody kind of some cool insight to how big these lives are beyond our third dimensional world. And yeah, this was a fun one. So hopefully you got something out of that. And we will talk again soon. Cosmic hugs, everybody.